7 of January 2021, Thursday class. So we will continue with this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teaching from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meanings. We are at page 78. The subheading today is quite nice. Fanning the wind of liberation. They eliminate the fury affliction of the womb. The coolness of the Dhamma is rained down upon ignorance. So this is the last part. The English translation is not so smooth. The actual meaning is the Dhamma is like can help overcome all this affliction. So it cools down the mind of those who suffer or who has gone through affliction. So the coolness of Dhamma is very useful to overcome affliction. Just relax body and mind, maintain some power, attention. Then we will start off the class by having a half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we will off the light. Then after that, you can start your meditation. For those who are new or need instruction, basically our awareness-based meditation is to develop the stability of awareness within. This awareness nature within our inner nature is very beautiful. It is our true mind. And that true mind is without thought, it's just aware. That's why you need to stabilize that so that you understand that you have two minds basically. One is the mundane mind, thinking mind, dependent originating mind. The other one is the silent nature within the silent mind or your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is the one that can understand many things, can awaken to phenomena, can insight into phenomena, can develop clear observation leading to wisdom and understanding. So to meditate, we need to have this awareness nature within. That's why it's called an awareness-based meditation. It's not thought-based. Thought-based means using thought. So what people don't understand is when thought is active, you cannot be mindful or aware, because mindfulness or awareness is the silent mind before the knowing. So mindfulness is just an awareness before the knowing. That's why our force support is to let us develop that. First, you relax body and mind into every mind state that arises, then maintain awareness. This first two support is very important. And the third support is to maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then whatever arises, let it be. Just maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Then you start to understand clearly what is going on. Now basically, as a human being, we have a mind trapped inside the physical body. So meditation is about seeking self-knowledge, developing an understanding of who we are, what we are, what is this form and mind all about, what is this human being all about. It's only through the silent awareness that we can understand all this. That's why we need to develop the stability of this awareness. So when you are just relaxed and maintain awareness, you can develop the stability of the silent mind to be aware of what is going on and to develop all this understanding. So that is what meditation is all about. So after the first three support, when you have developed some form of progress, then later on, maybe you need to understand the fourth support, which is trust. Trust here means trust your inner nature, your true nature, to develop the meditation. There is no interference from the thought process, from the mundane mind or thinking mind. You just trust your nature, let it move, let it evolve, and let it develop the movement within. So to do that, you must have the stability of mindfulness or awareness so that you can stay quiet, peaceful, and still. And wherever you locate your mind is very sensitive, very peaceful, very tranquil. It's just aware. And the awareness is very, very powerful. That is the one that can develop wisdom, awakening. We can now continue from where we started. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention, and we will start. Turn to page 78. We are using this book, The Essence of the Infinite Meaning. Teaching based on the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Or Sutra of Innumerable Meaning. So we are at the subheading, Fanning the Wind of Liberation. This one is very important. Liberation means enlightenment. So when you can develop the enlightenment with the wisdom connected, then you can use that understanding to actually help people. That's why they say fanning the wind of liberation, so that this wind of liberation continue to benefit living beings. This wind of liberation, which is the Dhamma that liberate the mind, can eliminate the fury and friction of the world. That's how it can be very beautiful. Then the coolness of the Dhamma can be felt by people. That's why they use the word, it's rain down upon ignorant living beings. So the title is very beautiful. We will read through and we will discuss whatever sharing that is within. Ordinarily, when affliction arises in people's mind, so this is very common, or when they face the effect of impermanence, means they experience change or impermanence, they will feel scared, angry, frustrated, or depressed. Means when this universal characteristic of change does not go their way, brings about afflictions. Normally, if we live life, we don't understand the universal characteristic. We thought every problem that we encounter that makes us fearful, miserable, or create affliction for us, we thought this is going to last. That's why we had a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, suffering. But we seldom contemplate that this universal characteristics of change or impermanence is so beautiful. Whatever you experience, it will continuously change and evolve. So affliction will change to non-affliction. How beautiful, right? So everything will come to pass is a very good saying. I heard this saying from one of the Mahayana story, I think. It was in a video or audio form, I forgot already. He said, when we understand change, we can make use of this universal characteristic. Because of this universal characteristics of impermanent or change, everything will come to pass. Even your suffering, your misery, your unhappiness, your affliction. So when you reflect that way, you contemplate that way, you can have joy. Then you can accept the reality of the moment, because it's not going to haunt you forever. So the understanding is very important. Then when you understand change, you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding, everything happens for a reason, you will understand. And change is always for the better. If you look at our civilization, our society, as we evolve, we go through transformation, change, and we always change for the better. Most of the time, because that's what progress is all about. But sometimes, for progress to happen or change to happen, because of the way living beings live their life, they are full of ignorance. They are deluded. So what happened is the universal consciousness and the planetary consciousness or the country consciousness, they become so polluted. Due to that delusion, it has turned very negative. And because of that, it caused things to arise. It create disaster. It create nature's disaster, crisis, like our present one is pandemic. So when all these things happen, it will involve change too, like our new normal, the way we live our life will have to change. You will no longer go back to the old traditional way where you can ignore this virus, COVID-19 or pandemic thing. And this is going to stay for a while, not until the vaccine takes effect and most people recover. Then maybe all this established standard operating procedure SOP may have to continuously evolve and develop so that it can prevent future pandemic. Yeah, this is a very good way of preventing the transmission of virus and disease. So if you understand the universal characteristic, you will know how to make use of them and apply them to develop the peace of mind. But if you don't have, you will complain. You will become afflicted. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation will arise. So this is how Dhamma comes in. If we understand everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, then what must we do? You must develop the understanding of this teaching so that we know how to introduce the appropriate right condition for wholesomeness to arise, so that we know how to avoid all evil to good and purify our mind to develop wisdom, understanding leading to wholesomeness. And that is the advice of all Buddhas. That's why when we have this understanding, means we follow the advice of the Buddha, then we can change our life, we can transform our life. our society, our civilization can change for the better, transform and become better and better. So this is why Dhamma is very important. So our title for today is very important, fanning the wind of liberation. That's how we apply them. Okay, we'll continue with the hearing, so that you can understand. So I'll read the first paragraph again. Ordinarily, when affliction arises in people's mind or when they are faced with the effect of impermanence, because when things change, is they are changing for the better, changing for the worse, when you cannot get what you want. Especially the first three reality of life and existence, old age, sickness and death. When we see our body going through old age, decay, experiencing sickness, disease, and pending death, there is this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. We find it very difficult to develop the wisdom to accept this reality. So the effect of impermanence can actually cause suffering and affliction to many people. Then even when we experience the working life, the career life, I realize a lot of organizations resist change because they are always comfortable within their comfort zone. They are so used to their company policy, their routine work procedure and all those things. When you want to introduce change, a new idea to improve, to maybe benefit the company to move forward, the consultant and also the management, top management, always face this problem of resistance from the majority of the staff. Because they are so fearful of change. Sometimes they say, all this change, where does it lead us to? We are not trained in all this. We are not skillful. We may become redundant. You may end up with retrenchment and all those things. So there's a lot of resistance. It's just like in the olden days, when they develop mechanization, science, technology, when they try to mechanize a lot of things, they don't need so much worker, so much staff to oversee things. And now in China, they got this AI thing and all this software and IT programming. Now, one crane driver who is skillful in AI and technology can manage 10 to 12 machines at one time. Just imagine, you save so much manpower at the same time, no danger, because that operator is not sitting on the machine. He is controlling the machine remotely. That's the power of technology. That's the power of change, leading to efficiency and all those things. You like it or you don't like it, technology is here to stay. It is not technology that create problem. It's the way humanity learn to use technology. It's just like I always explain to people, they blame the internet. They blame the television. Sometimes I heard this minor teachers or teaching. They say the television is a mara, catch you. Create sensuality if you want all those things. Then certain monk even go to the extent, they say, yeah, internet very bad. It lead to child pornography, everything. Everybody can have access to pornography and all those things. Then it create moral decadence and all those things. But technology is technology. It's like money. Money is neither evil or good. Technology also same, neither evil or good. Whether it's evil or good depends on the user of technology or the user of money. If the user has Dhamma, high standard of morality and understanding, then money can become wholesome, good. It can bring forth a lot of wholesomeness, goodness. You can apply money to good use, appropriate use, and it leads to a lot of wholesomeness. Similarly, technology is the same. So do not blame technology or mechanization and all those things. It is how we use it. If we use it with understanding, wisdom and wholesomeness, then technology becomes something very useful, very appropriate for a society, can lead to a lot of efficiency improvement, can lead to a lot of goodness, wholesomeness, and speed up a lot of things. So regarding technology, I think by now you can understand. It's our understanding. If we know how to apply them, the user of technology is very important. If the user has wisdom, has wholesomeness, then technology will become wholesome, useful. So this understanding is very important. Always reflect like money. It's neither good or evil. It depends on the user. The user that use that money or technology is the one that decide. So don't blame. There is no right, no wrong. People are just the way they are. Like I always said, deluded one do deluded thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. Ignorant people do ignorant thing. Violent people do violent things. So when we understand that living beings or human beings are the way they are, then we can have this wisdom to accept them for what they are. Then we can be at peace. Then we don't blame technology. We don't blame money. We won't say money is a source of all evil. Then why does people work so hard for money? Money only becomes a problem when you have too much money and you don't know how to apply it or use it for the good of the many. Then you instead go and develop fear, worry, anxiety. You know, when you got money, you create your own fear. Wow, what happened if people come and rob me, kidnap me, or my children? So you project your thought. Then a lot of these rich people later on, they realize last time before they were wealthy and rich, they were so peaceful. They can happy-go-lucky, wear a short and go and have supper. No need to have bodyguard and all those things. They live a good life. But when they become wealthy, affluent, they worry. Oh, they must have bodyguard. They must have all those, what they call, security protocol and all those things to protect them. So life is for us to learn, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. It's not a question of whether money is a source of all evil or root of all evil. Money is very useful if you know how to use it. And although money is useful, it cannot buy you everything. It can only buy you certain things that money can allow you to buy. Certain things you cannot buy, you know, in life. You cannot force your way through. You cannot become like a dictator. Then it will lead to conflict. It will lead to frustration, unhappiness. Then people will revolt against you, create all the conflict that unnecessarily will arise. So these are the understanding that we must develop. So now I will go back to the first paragraph. Then we will see clearly the meaning. Ordinarily, when afflictions arise in people's mind or when they face the effect of impermanence, they will feel scared, angry, frustrated, and depressed. But the author didn't explain and describe. So based on what I have described and explained, the meaning stand out. Then you know how to apply the teaching. It's so beautiful, even the universal characteristics of change. Then this universal characteristics of anicchang or change or impermanent is a universal characteristic. Every phenomenon in this universe of conditioned world of ours exhibit this characteristic. Even our physical body, our mind, whatever that you come to perceive or see, your car, your house, your whatever you think you own, they go through the process of decay leading to change, because all these are conditioned arising phenomena or objects or entity. When conditions cease to be, is gone. Like your antique or whatever prized possession that you hold on to, it can be stolen, then it's no more yours, gone. Or it can be destroyed by calamity, or you not careful, it drop, then it can be broken or crack. All these things is the reality of life and existence. So impermanent is a reality. So when you understand, you will be able to be at peace at whatever that arise, because condition like that, things be like that. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Like the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and condition behind, and you have to come to terms with this reality and accept. Otherwise, you will have affliction. You will project your thought and worry. Where you think you own, you think they are real, they really belong to you. Like the Buddha said, this very body also don't belong to us. Don't be foolish. He said, there are foolish people who believe my son, my wealth, my property. The Buddha said, even that very body, physical body, also don't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein property, wherein wealth. That is a delusion. But when you meditate, you awaken to all this reality, you understand what the conditioned world is. The conditioned world is a world of condition, dependent on condition they arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. When condition continue to sustain itself, it continue to evolve and exist. So this reality is Dhamma. This understanding is beautiful Dhamma. When you understand this, you are always at peace. You can come to terms with all the reality that arise. Then the teachings of the Buddha become very clear. And this is most beautiful. So hopefully, after tonight's explanation, you understand life much better. I will read on. They often wish that they had someone by their side who could offer them comfort and a strong shoulder to lean on. So this is for people who are deluded, don't have the Dhamma, full of ignorance. So in time of affliction or suffering or misery, they really need someone to console them, to talk to them, to give them hope, to give them comfort, confidence, and understanding. Without which, they suffer, they become miserable. So sorrow and lamentation, they are really true. That's why depression arises. When people develop affliction, suffering, misery, they continuously clinging hold, then they create the thinking until it becomes a cocoon of thought that constantly haunts them. And because they don't have the Dhamma, they don't understand all this. Like Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Litu, suffering, Dukkha, Dhamma Anatta, they can't see. That's why they will continue to hold, cling, grasp, attach. And all this cocoon or wrong thought will condition their fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation until they develop depression. And depression is so common nowadays. It not only happened to the elderly or older people, now the young kids are having depression. Very young. And I was told dog, pets also have depression when the owner neglect them or don't attend to them. So there are a lot of funny things happening in the world. So when you understand Dhamma, you can actually develop good understanding to come out of all this unnecessary suffering or misery. So here, according to the author, people who suffer or are afflicted, they need someone by their side who could offer them comfort or console them, and like a strong shoulder for them to lean on in times of despair, misery, suffering, and affliction. Whenever there is a storm or a flood or nature's disaster like fire or building collapse or accident, even tsunami, pandemic and all these things, or economic crisis, Tsuji volunteer quickly appear and gently comfort those affected. And this is relatively quite true. I have seen all this happening. My brother was involved with the Tsuji in Alaska. Every time there's a flood or a disaster or a crisis, they were mobilized very fast. And my brother was involved too. Then they help out in various ways. Then they witness all this. That's why I knew what Tsuji did is actually not bad. It actually helped to relieve sufferings. So whenever there is this nature's disaster, Tsuji volunteer quickly appear and gently comfort those affected or afflicted. They will remain by their side to offer reassurance and soothe them until they are peaceful and calm. Actually, not only peaceful and calm, when they can come to terms with those reality. Most people, living beings, especially the deluded one, they panic easily, they become fearful, full of worry, anxiety, very fast, and they are like totally lost. Their life is like in despair, like the world is ending, collapsing in front of them. So a lot of people suffer and become very miserable. They like completely at a loss, in deep despair, sorrow, lamentation, etc. So this is what the Buddha said called dukkha or suffering, misery. So prevalence of suffering is the first noble truth reality. Suffering is everywhere when you don't have the Dhamma, and you don't understand nature's truth, the beautiful teachings of the Buddha. When you understand the secret of life, the Four Noble Truths, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you understand life. Then you know how to live life. And when you know how to live life, you will have joy, you will have happiness, you will have peace and good understanding within you. I read on. I still remember that in the south of Taiwan, there was once an accident involving the crash of a military training aircraft of the group of young trainees and the Air Force instructor pilot who were on board. Some suffered severe injury while others died immediately in the crash. As soon as they received news of the accident, 30 volunteers went to the hospital to visit those who were injured. Because the families of these young trainees were spread all over central and northern Taiwan, local 30 volunteers contacted each of the families and went to their home to bring them comfort and companionship. The parents of those who were killed could not come to terms with this reality, with the loss of their children, their son, their daughter, and the woman who had lost their husband. They were all not able to contain their grief. They all need someone by their side to hold and comfort them. So this is the role that Sushi volunteer play. They not only help, they also do their part to give people hope, comfort, calmness of mind, peace of mind, and let them understand that these are reality that happen all the time. And they can give a lot of example where they witness a lot. So there are many cases which are worse, like the tsunami. They don't even have a chance to know what is going on. They are just wiped off so fast. Then like war. War can be very destructive and damaging. And sometimes war lasts very long. Like there are many countries that go through civil war, Middle East and all those countries, even Afghanistan and many other countries. In the past, the Soviet Union, when they broke out, Chechen and all those things. Then we also have recorded history of Vietnam War. So many, the Second World War, the First World War, the Korean War, and many other wars. Even China itself has a lot of dynasty going through a lot of war, endless war, until they have to come out with this novel called the Three Kingdoms, San Kuo Yan Yi, where there's a lot of war going on. They describe all the people in war. Cao Cao, Zhuge Liang, Kunming and Zhuge Liang is the same character. Then it was so many of these war that lead to downfall and rise of new civilization or dynasty. Okay, I will read on. This 30 volunteer had not known this family before the accident. But because they could not bear to see people suffer, they proactively went to provide them with care and support. The relatives and loved ones of those injured or killed were all in shock and were grief-stricken. Being able to comfort or offer them comfort and alleviate their pain or suffering at that time was like fanning a cool breeze on someone suffering from heat and humidity. This is the meaning of fanning the wind of liberation. Similarly, after the great Sichuan earthquake, this one was very, very severe. The earthquake was very severe. A lot of damages, a lot of life were affected, home displaced. But China being China, the government is very good. They acted very fast. And international relief team, together with the donation from all over the world, they pour in. I witnessed that Sichuan earthquake, and I was full of joy when I saw all those help coming. How generous people can be, especially overseas Chinese and local Chinese who have made the money. They really donate, and they receive the fund, big numbers, very fast. Then the government rebuilt the whole not village, province, so fast. And they really, really did a great job. And that's how you see a modern China with that type of efficiency and ability, because the government is now very different. Yeah. So far, I think China, this is the only time they have really very strong and very honest and sincere central government that did a lot for the people. Eradication of poverty, no other country can even equal them. Within a matter of few years, they can eradicate hundreds of millions of people out of poverty and transform within 30 to 40 years the economy of China until the middle class, the upper class, and the farmers. They progress so far, they become so much more developed and affluent over such a short period. Even our country, we receive independence, I think 1954, so now it's 60, 70, 80, 90, 2000, no, 50, 60, almost 70 years. Oh, 57, oh, 57. Oh, miss, I must have got it wrong. Oh, no, no, no. Actually, we got independent after I was born. I got IC, that's why now I remember. But my sister, they all got blue IC. They were born in Penang, lucky. So Merdeka was what year? 57. So 67, 77, 87, 97, 2007. 60 years, not 57, 60 years. The year is 57, but it's 60 years. Because the year 2000 already 40 years. 43, so 63. So 63 years, we are still talking about all these problems within our Malaysian society. Still talking about race, religion, and all those things. I don't know what is going on. Maybe, hopefully, the consciousness will evolve and become better. But Malaysian, being Malaysian, we have a lot of good, talented people. The only thing is we differ from country like China because we lack a central leadership or government that is very strong. Whereas Malaysia is opposite. We have good people, talented people, but the central government is very weak. It's because it has been ongoing that way. We have to change. Just like China before the last 40 years, under the original communism, China was way behind. But because they determined to change, that's why change is for the better. And they, when they seriously want to change for the better, they look at all the countries' system. Then they adopt what is best. So they go in between. Whatever that is good, with communism, they adopt whatever that is bad, they leave it, they throw it aside. Then they look at the democratic countries, democracy, whatever that is good, because laissez-faire society is the opposite of communism. It's based on the economy, incentive and all those things. Without incentive, human beings will not strive, they will not work, they will not go all out to actually work hard to sustain themselves, or if there is no opportunity to come out, nobody will strive. That's why initially communism failed, because everyone is equal, no incentive. You very hardworking, very good, also same. You are given the same ration. The economy is very weak. So this won't work. You have to change. You have to adopt new ideology, understanding. But I still believe the Dhamma way. You must have good, sincere leaders who really work for the people, the country, and honest, sincere, integrity. Without all this virtue, the country will fail. Without all this virtue and integrity, corruption will set in. Then it will rot. Then it will lead to downfall of society. Then the country will not develop. To develop, you must have sincere, good leadership, who really take the position because they want to do something for the country. They want to bring forth progress and change. They want to move the country from a developed country to a, sorry, from a developing country to a developed country with good values. Not only economy alone, you must be environmentally friendly. Then you must have that mind that is sincere, protective of environment. Not the one that achieve progress through all the various indiscriminate means. Means selfish way. So all this is part and parcel of Dhamma, nature's law. When we understand all this, we can see the various governments that really adopt the good principles following the Dhamma way. They really thrive and become very successful. And the country, the people, they really develop good progress. We can see. So now we are witnessing a new era. Hopefully those countries that are strong and sincere, like China, they can continue to play their role, and later on maybe lead the world in many areas of common interest. Similarly, after the great Sichuan earthquake, Shiqi volunteers steadfastly remain in the disaster area to offer companionship to those affected. This was because the volunteers knew that to truly relieve people's suffering and affliction, they could not just leave after helping with their immediate needs. The volunteers need to support the survival, both physically and mentally, for the long term. In the immediate aftermath of the disaster, providing relief and care to those affected will help ease their hardship. Now, this is very true. But this needs to be followed up with emotional support, means comforting them, consoling them, to calm and settle their heart and their minds. Some people may have lost their homes in a matter of seconds, or have lost the land they had depended on for their livelihood. The shock from the destruction of one's home and livelihood and the loss of loved ones is not the kind of suffering that can be eased in just a short time unless they have the Dhamma. With love and compassion and wisdom, the volunteer needs to give them ongoing care and encouragement, hope. Only then could they be slowly liberated from their affliction, pain and suffering and move on to rebuild their homes and start life anew. So this is very true. Right? So when you have true love, compassion and understanding or wisdom, then you can help people. You can be a blessing to others. You can really contribute and make a change to people's life. And this is good support, good Dhamma. You reap what you sow. These are your virtue, your merits that you will accumulate or receive through your sincere true action. Because you do it with sincerity, faith and understanding, and it will really grow. Then in future, you can become great beings, like great Bodhisattva who go all out to do all this. And in the meantime, even if you are just a volunteer, a helper, whatever you do, actually come back to you. Because before you really thoroughly develop the cultivation and understand the cultivation and the way, you will have a mixture of good and negative karma from the past. Then in the future, when your negative karma hit, you become the victim of all this calamity or nature's disaster, then there will be people who will come and help you, assist you, comfort you, console you, counsel you, and give you understanding because of your coming past. So there are two very beneficial contribution from people who do all this. That's why Tsuji trained Bodhisattva in society. Even the new people, volunteer, they are trained to track this path so that in future their cultivation deepens. They take the vow and they walk the Bodhisattva way and become beautiful. So the Dhamma is like dew or a soft breeze. It needs to enter people's minds steadily so that they can develop wisdom and eliminate the fury heat of ignorance. To liberate others from suffering, not only do we need to counsel them with wisdom and care for them with love, we also need to patiently guide them to take the Dhamma to heart. Now, this is very important, to take the Dhamma to heart. We cannot just momentarily fan them to dispel the heat. We need to continuously bring the coolness of Dhamma into their mind. This is how we eliminate the fury affliction of the world. But there is something that you must know. To do this, you yourself must have the Dhamma. You yourself must walk the path. You yourself must reflect, contemplate until you are very clear. If you yourself cannot do it, how can you impart the Dhamma to others? True or not? That's why you must diligently cultivate, reflect, contemplate until you understand. Then life is your greatest teacher. You recall through mind. Recollect through mind what happened to you since young until now and how you have evolved and become what you are today. Before you know the Dhamma, what do you do? After you know the Dhamma, what do you do? Does it make a difference to your life? Has it helped you in any way? Once you see the benefits, once you have gone through the transformation, then you have this experience, you are very rich in this experience and understanding. Then you speak with confidence, you speak with faith. You know it can be done, because it happened to you, or you have witnessed a lot of this happening. That's why our Kayamitanship is very good. We counsel and support each other, and together we walk the path to cultivate the Dhamma. Because Kayamita are Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma, cultivate together. Then we support each other, counsel each other. Then we are there to actually share understanding. That's why Dhamma discussion, Dhamma sharing, and all of our spiritual trips, including our Dhamma activities. Our weekly classes, the Tuesday class, the Thursday class, and Sunday class, and even whatever Monday house dana we used to have, but this almost 9-01 we can't because of movement control, MCO order. Anyway, when that condition arises, we can have them. The Monday dana is actually a very good sharing platform too. Then we also used to have Dhamma talk and Dhamma sharing when people invite me to share. Then Kayamita will follow me and some will join the class. So all these are very wholesome. I have explained before. Each and every of these Dhamma sessions, they are really beautiful. They can give rise to a lot of wholesomeness. They can give rise to a lot of beautiful merits and wholesomeness. And you can get to perform all of the 10 meritorious actions, which can be very beautiful, very rich. And your Dhamma understanding and affinity, the Triple Gem, is greatly enhanced. Your understanding of the Dhamma, the teaching, is greatly enhanced. And every time you come for this type of classes, the 10 meritorious action is very powerful. You not only do dana, sila, bhavana, you get to listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, transfer merit, then help out in the welfare of Kayamitas, or help out in the Buddhist activity and Buddhist society's program and all this thing, or you contribute your whatever support to help out in whatever field that you are good at, or you have the sincerity to help. And there are many areas, like the audio and video file. We have a lot of volunteers. Then the Zoom session, the website. And we also have this treasurer that keep our funds, Kayamita fund. Then we have committee members that help us to organize spiritual trips, Dhamma activity, fundraising, and all those things. So all these are very wholesome. Then when you understand the teaching, you know how to overcome worldly problem. When you can do it, you are skillful, then you can help others. So what we teach and share are very useful. Whatever happened, first thing first, understand what the Buddha has shared with us. The fifth daily contemplation. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So whatever happened to the individual or you, the affliction or whatever, or other people that you try to help, always remember is related to karma. Almost all our life is karmically related. So the first thing to do is to ask for forgiveness, or to do the repentance. Ask for forgiveness from Triple Gem and all those beings from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that you have caused them suffering or misery or affliction or misled or any of this coming negativity. You have to sincerely ask for forgiveness. This will enable you to break the karmic obstruction. Otherwise, the karmic obstruction can be very severe. Then only you can develop the ability to turn around. Asking for forgiveness and developing repentance is number one. After that, you have to vow because you really sincerely want to repent. So repentance means not only ask for forgiveness. You repent because you want to change. You know this is wrong. That's why you determine from that moment onward to keep the precept, to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to go and purify the mind. That's how you change for the better. This is following the advice of the Buddha, the Dhamma way, to change your life, to transform your life. Then when you go the Dhamma way, you accumulate a lot of good karma, good merits, and good wholesomeness. And with that, you do the third thing. You invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around, to improve your life, to benefit yourself, your loved ones, and others. So this is how you can make use of the Dhamma to help people. Initially, help yourself first. Try out, do it first. In fact, many Kayamita has done it. Especially Koglun. He knows how to apply a lot of the things that I share with you all. And he has so much joy. A lot of things really, really unfold and let him understand. And he has faith, confidence, and joy. And he saw and witnessed them all. That's why he knows how to be with it. Then he knows how to ask for forgiveness, seek repentance, and vow to keep the precept, follow the advice of the Buddha. By keeping the precept means you avoid evil. Then by cultivating the noble eightfold path, you cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. Then you develop wisdom through purifying your mind, developing awareness, awareness-based meditation to awaken, to straighten your view, to transform yourself, to have the Dhamma. The initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So all these are very useful, very beautiful. That's why Dhamma session, Dhamma activity, they are very useful. Spiritual trip. Then we have the website, which is very rich in all these things. We have this wealth of spiritual teaching and understanding. That's why our website, brotherteo.com, is a very comprehensive website, very beautiful. You should read all of the headings that we have established. About us is the first one. What do we do? And what type of organization we really establish? Then our objective, our aim, our mission. Then how we started all this. How the concept or idea of Kayamitaship came about. Then how we make use of this to build up our spiritual cultivation and activities. So all these are very beautiful. Then we have all of our recordings, Dhamma activity recordings, the video file, the audio file, the books, the publication. So these are a great wealth of or repository of Dhamma material or wealth of Dhamma teaching and Dhamma sharings. So if you know how to make use of it, you will benefit. Then what are our activities is also there. Then how to contact us, they are all there. Then there is also the section on video file and all those things. You should go in and really view them, listen to them. There is a lot of beautiful sharing, especially the short videos. So these are all very beneficial. Okay, we go back to the sharing. To liberate others from suffering, not only do we need to counsel them. Oh, this one we have done. Huh? Okay, we have finished this one. Huh? Then the coldness of Dhamma is rained upon the ignorance. Rained down upon ignorance. There are many Tsuchi volunteers who have experienced giving rise to and being defiled by afflictions. Later, because they heard the Dhamma and allow it to enter their mind, they were able to reform themselves, straighten their view and change for the better, and get rid of their bad habits or bad temple or bad habitual tendency and unwholesome habitual tendency. Unwholesome is bad, or negative habitual tendency. They began to greet others with a smile. This is very important. When you can smile means you have joy. When you cannot smile means you have suffering. That's why I always share with Kayamita. Whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, means the evil roots are there. You are suffering. You are not applying the Dhamma. You don't have Dhamma. So when you can begin by greeting others with a smile and speak gently, softly and appropriately, that is cultivating noble eightfold path, right speech leading to right action. Then that smile may not cost you anything, but it is very rich in its ability to give rise to joy and comfort to people. It makes people feel good. When you smile and wish people sincerely, they really feel it. Then you like able to break the ice and they like to talk to you because you have this joy in you. You are very sincere. You smile a lot. Your attitude towards relationship is very sincere. Only sincere people can smile and with the joy. Then they have a lot of this gratitude. They will thank people. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for being such a good listener. And thank you so much for all the things that you have given to us, provided to us and help us. So all this is gratitude, joy and happiness. Ability to thank and have gratitude towards whatever wholesomeness that people have done for us is a very important virtue. Contentment is another important virtue. Ability to rejoice, mudita, sympathetic joy, is another great virtue. Then you have integrity, sincerity, honesty. All these are very wholesome, very good virtue. Then respect, gratitude, contentment, all these are very wholesome virtue. So develop more and more. Arise the right effort to cultivate the virtue or goodness or wholesomeness, right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then the right effort, the last one, is to refine upon them and perfect them until they become a part of you. That is how the cultivation should be done. Because their mind are pure and cool, they are able to experience the joy of Dhamma as if they had reached the state of tranquility and clarity. This is like the cool breeze and dew one feels in the evening after the oppressive heat of the sun has subsided. If our mind had been defiled, we can let the Dhamma rain down on our ignorance. This means we can use the Dhamma water to cleanse and eliminate our ignorance and affliction so that we will be able to clearly perceive the principles. Once the Dhamma has entered our mind, we will be able to understand and comprehend the truth of whatever we are facing in the world. This is very true. You must have Dhamma. When Dhamma has entered your mind, then you become different. You become beautiful, wholesome. We can realize that the law of nature, we can realize the law of nature's. This is very true. When you have Dhamma, you will realize the law of nature, the laws that governs life and existence within nature, and of paticca samuppada, or dependent origination. We take nothing with us when we die. Only karma follow us in our next life. So like this usual saying that I share with you all, La ye kong, chi ye kong. Nama si zu he bi ku ku wei kong yu lei. We are born into this world empty. When we die, when we pass away again, we go empty. Then why do you grieve in between over emptiness? So see this clearly, understand this clearly. All of your craving, desire, conflict, they call it fighting. It's over what? Over emptiness, which you never realize. That's why you can't free your mind. You can't develop the Dhamma wisdom to act appropriately and accordingly. And because of ignorance, self-delusion especially, we attach, we cling, we grasp, we hold on to things, believing that they belong to us and we can truly own things. But like the Buddha said, this very body is also not yours because it's dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. If you yourself cannot be permanently existing, then upon death, what happens? The entity dies. So the entity that own thing and have thing, how can it continue to own thing? Because the entity also doesn't belong to you. That's why upon your death, everything become inherited. It's no longer yours. Of course, you can will it in a will, but it's no longer yours. It's separate. Like the Buddha's first noble truth reality, separation is a reality. Separation from your loved one, your prized possession, things you hold on to dearly. So when there is this separation, affliction and suffering will arise when you don't have the Dhamma to see it clearly. That separation is a reality. Everybody has to confront them, face them. So if you don't have the Dhamma, you cannot accept the reality. Especially separation that leads to separation from loved one, prized possession, wealth, etc. It can really lead to suffering and affliction and misery. Okay, almost 10 o'clock, I think we can stop there. I think we have finished this. Okay, I read on a bit. When we understand the concept of karmic cause and effect, we will realize the intrinsic truth of life's impermanence. When an unwanted event occurs, ordinary people will endlessly take issue over it. Some may even take advantage of the situation to achieve their selfish end. When a person does not understand the principles and only thinks of gain, of gaining more and more, means selfish thinking, then obstacle and conflict easily occur. Obstacle means coming obstacle, coming affliction. But with an understanding of dependent origination and knowledge of the law of karma or karmic law of cause and effect, we begin to comprehend the nearly imperceptible changes of life's impermanence. This is very true. That's why you must understand the law of karma and paticca samuppada. then we can naturally accept everything that happened. This is very true. And not let it influence our spiritual aspiration. Okay, we stop there. So we are now open up for meditation, reporting, and Q&A of question and answer.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
And all Kalamita, 大家好。
啊，好好好，你也好，
Brother Teo, after 那一天后，我就回来 meditate， 就做少一点 bowing 咯。然后我就发现到说，mind 有时候也是很 active 啦，所以。Once 那个 mind 很 active 咧，就是 thought based meditation 了。
Yeah, heedless thinking。然后
我是没有，不能做什么，然后就是由着他咯。因为然后就尽量回到 heart 咯，就发现到有时候哦，I want to go to the heart， 可是有时候那个鼻子的那个 breathing 更 obvious 的。
Now then go there, go to whatever that is more obvious. Because you have done the Anapanasati before. So go there and calm yourself down first. Then when you have established the stability of Anapanasati, then your breathing become very quiet, very still. Then your mind enters sati. You must do it until you are able to have that stability. And then wherever you locate that mind,it is already in sati. That's why it can stay at the heart. It can stay at your heartbeat. It can stay at wherever, whichever point within your body. Then you can meditate.
Hi.
The stability of it is very important. You don't go and hanga like ayama. One moment breathing, one moment go to the heart. Then you don't know what you are doing. Then I ask you to try, put your hand on the floor. Did you try?
那一天在 Brother Dio 那边我就有 try 了的，就是放了。
Then 回家 try. When you silence your mind completely without thought, you will understand what I mean. You haven't tried, that's why you cannot describe to me what happened.
Okay.
When you really silence until no more thought, then you will start to see a lot of things, experience a lot of things. Just relax, maintain awareness.
就然后还有就是 ，bro， 就 certain times 那个 thought 哦，哇，他有时候他会想起我的 daily life 的东西啦。
OK。
有时候他就没有想那些，他就好像一个 policeman 这样哦，在旁边这样看着，然后那个 thought 就是哦，比较近一点哦，哦，呼吸哦。就好像一个 wash dog 这样在旁边。
Yeah lah, you are actually describing your thought. You are using your thought to describe the thought. So that is not sati. That is not awareness. Awareness means what? Relax and maintain awareness. You're just aware. Don't try to know. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Relax and maintain awareness. If then all this description that you mentioned will not arise. I already say thought will arise. Why? Your five spiritual faculties are not stable. You don't have them. Because they are not stable, that's why the mental hindrance, the opposite five is there. So when the opposite five is there, you have this what they call heatlessness, or they call it restlessness of mind. That's why the thought keep on coming. This moment like that, that moment like that, that every now and then very active, because your mind is restless. Restless because it's not in the state of calm, it's not in the state of samadhi. The spiritual faculty are lacking. Do you know when you have the spiritual faculty, when you have faith, sadhana, what happened? The faith will make your doubt gone. You will not have doubt. That mental hindrance is gone. Then you become very calm and very composed. You have faith. your mind is very stable, very strong, then it will drive you to cultivate virya. Is there? When virya is there, what happens? You won't be sleepy. That's how you overcome your mental hindrance. But after that, you're supposed to develop or maintain awareness, develop mindfulness of whatever object of meditation. It can be mindfulness of breathing, or rising and falling, or chanting, or whatever. Aware, mindful, even at the heartbeat or whatever. If you can be mindful, what happens? Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. So no thinking. No thinking means what? No restlessness. No mental hindrance. Because you are silent. You are just aware. But because you cannot develop the stability of awareness, that's why you have problem. So you need an object of meditation to train. You train. But the fastest way is no need object of meditation. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let the thought slow down. Let the whatever sankhara on its own. Because without any more thinking or mental delusion through avijja, the thought will slow down. It will depreciate. The energy will dissipate. Sorry, not depreciate. Dissipate. Then it will slow down and end. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. That's how it dissipates its energy. Then it cannot think anymore. That's why you're supposed to be patiently aware. Don't try to know. Whatever tactile contact arises, aware. Like just now, it was raining during meditation. So the rain was so heavy, the water was pouring. So that consciousness, aware, finish. Conscious, finish. Don't be drawn by it. Don't allow your thought to go and get yourself entangled and proliferate and go and think. But just how you describe, your thought is so active. One moment think of this, one moment think of that. Then like policing, all these words come out. It's because you are still at the thought. Why can't you just relax, maintain awareness? Then what my instruction to you is very clear. Don't try to know. Don't go and do. Can you just do that? Relax and maintain awareness and let the thought naturally arise. Then it will slow down over time. Then you will experience the shift in consciousness, the silent mind, which is your true mind, the meditative mind. Be patient. Do it until that thing arrives. Then only you can progress. Otherwise, you cannot progress. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, brother. I do.
So fast, don't run away. You must make sure you understand. Because I have been trying patiently to slowly let you understand. But you are very weak in this area because your old habitual thinking is still there. Your whole old habitual way of doing things is still there. You are still very much at the thought level. You hold on to things. You cannot understand simple instruction to just relax and maintain awareness. Go back and write down. Don't try to know what does it mean. Don't do anything. What does it mean? Then check whether in meditation you try to know and you are doing thing or not. That's what you are doing. That's why you cannot get it right. Relax, maintain awareness. Aware, finish. You can understand. Don't go and create thinking and follow. Initially, your mental hindrance there, the thought will arise. Let it arise. Patiently wait. It will come to pass. Because it's impermanent. It will slow down. Then you will experience that silence within. And that is your meditative mind, your silent mind, your true mind. You have to experience that. You can't even do that, how to stabilize it. You haven't even had a glimpse of what that thing is. That's why it takes you so long until today. you still haven't really understood what sati is. Then without this stability, your daily mindfulness cannot come about. Understand? Go back, write it down, listen again, and slowly develop the understanding. Then after that, if you understand and you do it correctly, you will progress. You will become very different. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Sadhu.
Then, anything else?
After the second day I met you all in the morning when I wake up, somehow I once I wake up not long still on the bed, I realized I'm not sincere.
现在你讲出来了咯，because you are not sincere, that's why stop.
When Jin Hao 在 share 还是 Song 在讲到 sincerity, yeah, Song 在讲到 sincerity.
That one wake you up, isn't it?
我就想到 after next day 你醒我了之后，我早上睡醒的时候哦，我就知道 ，just know, you know that I'm sincere.
You lack sincerity, which is very true. 比如你以为是开玩笑啊，每次说啦啊，没事了，then like 刚才这样，快啊 ，yeah, okay, very good, that's all. 你要跑掉了。When you are sincere, you are very keen.Very interested, and you inquire, and you want to understand. One thing to understand is not one thing to know. One thing to know is knowledge. One thing to understand means you seriously, you really seeking the way. Then you have that virya that drives you. That's why when you are sincere, you go all out and find out and develop the understanding. When you are not serious, Never mind, I think later on I will do one. Then you procrastinate. Everything you delay, you're not serious. But when you are serious and sincere, you progress very fast. So you are right. You lack sincerity. So develop that understanding. Very easy to be sincere. Means Mandarin you call what? 真诚啊。
对真诚，又有
真诚，
又诚实。
So to be sincere, I mean true to yourself. 做别掉啊 ？Do you really want the Dhamma? Do you want to be free from suffering? If you really want, means you very sincere, then you go all out and understand the Dhamma, so that you can be free from suffering. You can liberate.Your mind, so that you can understand this teaching. Because you are not serious, that's why it doesn't drive you. And you give priority to other things. If the priority is Dhamma, then you engage yourself in the training, the religious routine, the daily mindfulness, the contemplation, the reflection.Listening to Dhamma, straightening it, you will do all this. Then meditate, follow the instruction. Because all this you have not done, that's why you somehow ask how to be 真诚. How can I teach you to be 真诚? To be 真诚 is your own within sincerity. If you are sincere, you really want to understand the Dhamma.And to be free from suffering, to liberate your mind, then you have to go all out to seek it, to learn it, to understand it. Not just like 开玩笑这样，then take everything like a joke. I realize you're not serious. You look at Song, Chin Hao, they have become very serious.But this is something very important. Life and death, as serious as that. If you don't understand this Dhamma, this teaching, it will bring about delusion that leads to a lot of suffering, misery, affliction. And your life is dependent on this Dhamma understanding. So wake up. reflect, contemplate, and tell yourself, this is most important in life. This is what I want. I have to do. And then you will be successful. You will go all out and work round the clock for it. Yeah. Other thing is not important. You need that type of determination, sincerity to move. That's why faith is very important. When you have faith, you become very stable. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how great a being he is, and through understanding how wonderful that teaching is, then you will go all out. Then your faith in the Buddha and his teaching will be unshakable. Then the virya will drive you to take things seriously and to go all out to develop. Okay?
Sadhu Bhajyo.
Okay, I can share one thing happened today lah, huh?
Okay,
this is how, because previously this customer, they was very demanding and everything. So actually my salesperson asked me to like kind of like lie to them on the arrival date.
Oh, okay.
Like, hey, don't, if I lie, then after that it will cause a lot of problem, you
yeah,
see.
Yeah, never lie. Yes, speak the truth. Why must you lie?
Yeah, because the customer of it, luckily she already left the company, right? But that time she was like, for example, like very follow up with us very closely, you know. It's like,
oh, okay.
For example, the vessel, if the vessel arrives at 10 o'clock, they want us to like within 6 hours clear up from the port, and then within around the clock, like within 2 a.m. send to their factory, you know. It's like
very
demanding, and then also due to currently, you know, the port clang, all port everything, right? So
yeah,
it's
a lot of COVID-19 case.
So my salesperson asked me to lie the ETA date, like add another 2 days so that we have time to turn around. Then to do that, you know. And then
that one, you have to be very careful. Why must you lie? You tell him, if he can prove that he need 2 more days because of valid reason, then you say you can actually help him to explain. You don't have to lie. You should let him, the salesperson, let you understand why he need 2 more days. So that you don't have to lie. You can tell the customer, yeah, according to my sales manager or my sales personnel, he has checked. You really, nowadays, because of COVID-19 and all these complications, I think he need 2 more days.
But the time the customer was like, I think they are desperate or something. They just force us, even like Saturday, Sunday, they need us to work. And if we don't, like, we delay like 7 hours, like it's 4 a.m. until 10 a.m. Or they want to charge a penalty, you know. But
no. What is the contract like?
The contract, this one is like we are helping them out, you know, and then they still want to charge us. It's very ridiculous. Like.
No. What role do you play?
As
a company, they are your regular customer or what?
Yeah, my they call it global key customer. So it's like the big,
fairly big customer.
Yes.
Oh, then you have to play your role because you cannot afford to antagonize such big customer. But you don't have to lie. Do you understand? You can just tell your boss you do your best, and if the sales people cannot get runner or want to help out, maybe to get runner to help out, you can tell the customer within that time frame that you dictate means we have to hire people. Are you willing to pay? Then the ball go back to their own court. Understand not? Everything can be speed up if you are willing to hire a runner who knows the way and who know how to establish all this. So you tell them you will try your best, but you need them to understand that to do that, based on what your company has as staff strength, you may not be able to do it, but you can try. And based on the reality of COVID-19, others think the salespeople have to advise you because this is beyond you. Then you can really be sincere and just talk to people nicely, following Noble Eightfold Path. That is what Dhamma is all about. You don't have to lie. You don't have to put yourself in a dilemma. Do you understand? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So no need. Establish everything clearly, then be very clear about your role. Your role as, I don't know what they call you. Are you the...
customer service.
Customer service. Wow, yours is the most difficult one. My daughter also have experience customer service. You have to attend the customer. So rule number one, you have to treat them well. You have to answer them nicely. That's why they need people like you with the Dhamma who have right speech and appropriate, gentle and pleasant speeches. You must know how to speak in such a manner that you don't have to lie. Just be sincere. And you need to apologize. You apologize. You're really sorry. We really try, but it seems the sales personnel there, they have problems. They need to resolve certain things. Then you check with your sales side. If they hire a runner or what, can they do it? If they can do it, then quote to them the cost. Or if they want you to do on your own, maybe your approach is you try your very best. And you know government department, without runner, things are very slow. With runner, very funny, you know. I have seen a lot of this thing happen. The runner got away one. I don't know whether they have a good relationship or what. This runner, they can bypass the queue or no. Then the whole stack of documents can go direct. Then the officer or whoever who know them, they can pass to the counter to speed up during lunch break or what. So lunch break is their time, but they can do something. But some are very obvious. While the line is queuing up very long, I've seen in Thailand, the immigration to Hap Yai, the line was really queued up with a lot of people. Then suddenly, one runner with a lot of passport, I think 15 to 20 or sometimes 10, suddenly bypass all the queue and pass to the counter and tell the officer, any urgent. Then after that, he passed it to the counter guy. You had to wait for him to clear all those. Then only come to your turn. But that is the reality. You complain, also no use. You argue and become impatient, also no use. But the reality is. So we have to learn to accept the reality of the moment. I mean, our society is such. It doesn't mean that I condone or I support this type of nonsense. I use the word nonsense because it's not according to the proper Dhamma way. But society is such, and you want things fast, you have to do something. But if people are willing to do that, nothing to do with you, right? Because they are willing to pay. So you tell them maybe your sales personnel side, they try to look for somebody who can do it. But you are not actually causing much harm, actually. Because sometimes, due to certain circumstances, urgency and all those things, you need to clear it. So you need to actually get the service of a professional, I call it. Yeah? We may call it a runner, but we call them professional because they can really get things done. So sometimes this type of thing, you pay for a service. Then you want to order a certain thing, the live fish or whatever. If the restaurant willing to do it, then you don't have to worry that much because the responsibility comes from the person who is willing to do it for a fee or a cost. So all this is Dhamma, you have to learn. Society is very complicated. There are a lot of things happening. So when you understand the Dhamma is the mental intention, you don't have mental intention to cause the killing or the suffering or to cause any negativity, then karmically it's not really something that is going to be serious or bad. So you have to learn all this and go through all this. But when you have the Dhamma, I realize I don't have such problem, I don't have such issue in my working career and life for the past so many years. I don't face such thing. But one thing good about me is before I join the company or I take up that job, I already make clear to the CEO or the MD or the boss, don't ask me to do entertainment, bribe people and all those things. I said, I will not get involved, I will not do. You better get your own PR people and all those things. And they agree. That's why I work for them. So you can have such skill and experience and you can dictate such them, then I suggest you do it. Otherwise, you depend on that job or that career, then try not to be so upfront in your approach to your job, because not everybody has that means. I was able to do that because I don't need that job actually. I'm willing to, like, you say no, never mind, then I don't take the job, that's it. But not everybody is like me who can have that flexibility. That's why you must have good karma. Okay? Yeah, Tammy?
Yeah. I just tell
the service. Oh, I don't know. Oh, my daughter wants to ask you a question. You continue. My daughter say you want to explain how you do it.
Yeah, so she even, because of this customer, we have a discussion now to explain to salesperson so that they can also transmit our grievances, all these problems to the customer so the customer can understand our situation now. Huh? Then the salesperson, she even like, ask my boss the approval for me to lie, you know.
That is the best
joke. Say okay, you know, like, huh? Then that just add 2 days, so it's kind of like the normal, because during this period of time, like, she said this period of time, add 2 days to the normal processing time, like something like that.
Oh, that's not lying. That is, you need 2 more days. That is not lying. Lying means you actually tell a lie because you have already established yourself that this is the SOP. Within this time, it can come out. Okay? Then you have to allow more days because sometimes we can, sometimes people on leave, sometimes the system there down or what. So all this is part and parcel of the whole thing. So if you know the character of the customer is such, they get very angry if you promise them the delivery date, then you delay. And then under such circumstances, it is reasonable to actually add that 2 day. You are not lying because you allow for unforeseeable circumstances. Then you get it out earlier, you will be very happy. And then that time you explain, you say, well, we are very lucky. Nobody is on leave. The system didn't break down. Everything goes on smoothly. That's why this time around, we can get it out 2 days earlier. But if it cannot, then you have allowed for that time. You didn't lie. Then you try your best to clear. No need to lie.
So anyhow, at the end today, when I wanted to tell them the estimated arrival date of the vessel that time, somehow I just said, yo, please, I don't want to lie, you know, so how to do, you know, please help. Like, I don't really like ask, you know, I just like, I didn't lie so long already, so please help. Like, so I just think this, and then suddenly, the customer, they change the dates all according to the vessel date, you know, so I have abundant of time for delivery.
Oh, so, but that is very good news. So you don't have to like add all those dates. Actually, adding the date is not a lie. It's your estimate of delivery and arrival time.
No, because customers specifically, they want to know the vessel arrival date given by the liner one. So it's like different.
Okay. Like I know what you mean. So you can say it's dated this day, but sometimes, you know, when it comes to logistics, things can happen and the delivery can be delayed. Then sometimes it come on a weekend, cannot be processed, and that's, you cannot take it out of the port. So all this, you have to factor in and let people know. It's okay, be honest, sincere. But in this case, you were lucky, yeah? Because their date happened to be, you have amber time. So you just resolve it through an understanding. Then you feedback to your boss and your sales side. Don't worry, they are willing to extend the thing because their date is actually way beyond what we need to tell them. Then no more problem. Even if you face a situation where it's very tight, you have to use your understanding to sincerely explain to people. No need to be under pressure to lie. The problem about lying is the moment you start to lie, you are deceiving others and yourself, that you will keep on lying. Then the lie is something that is not reality. So it will continue to give you a problem. Then you have to add in more lie to sustain the original lie. I realize very difficult, very stressful. No need to do that. Okay, so very good example. That means I do to you. So at least we learn from you. Then you can also learn from what I suggest to you. The Dhamma way is to be sincere. You can explain your way through. There are many ways to approach a job situation. You can be a Buddhist, sincere, and no need to lie. Even as a sales personnel, I have explained before. You really need to know what is right livelihood, right living. So you don't sell a product that is not according to the description. Means you are cheating, deceiving people. So there are ethics behind. You don't want to promote something which you know is not able to deliver that type of effect or effectiveness. So a salesperson must be sincere, honest, and know their product well, even sell car or other thing. If yours is more expensive because of your service and other thing, you can explain. You want this type of good service, sincere salespeople who advise you accordingly, then you can understand why we charge more, higher. All this can be explained. And I realize people who really have the good ethics or attitude towards business, they like sincere people, trustworthy people. They don't like crooked people. But of course, someone to have cheating, everything they bargain with you, negotiate with you, and make it very difficult for you to make profit. And that one, no need to do business also, never mind. Because when you want to have certain standards of service, you need to pay. Because you cannot get what they call, you cannot pay peanut and expect to get good service. You pay peanut, you get peanut. You get monkey, huh? My daughter said, you pay peanut, you get monkey. They monkey around. But you pay for good service, if they are really professional, you really get good service. And it's value for money. I have tried before. Sometimes I buy certain type of goods. Not to say I look for the brand, I look for the quality. If the quality is there, I'm willing to pay a higher price because there is value. I realize there is value. But not all quality branded product has value. You must be careful. You must know how to feel the material, especially for clothing. Then the cutting, you must try out. Then shoe or whatever, also say, the moment I wear, I feel, I will know already. So all this, you have to learn skill. Okay, Tammy, salute to you. Thank you so much. We are 10:40 already. We have to end already.
Yeah,
salute. Thank you. So we will keep you in mind. You can nominate somebody next session. Thank you so much, Tammy. So we'd like to thank Tammy and Juliana for the sharing. Thank you so much.